I never worked on my weaknesses. I only worked on my strengths, and I exaggerate them.
Who is that? That's the voice of Steve Vai, guitar virtuoso, axeman extraordinaire, rock star, dispensing a nugget of wisdom. Nah, nugget is too small a word. That's more of a mountain. You never know from what source you might catch some wisdom. Sometimes it's right in front of us and we fail to heed it or even notice it. But what Steve just said there is a kind of a skeleton key to unlocking doors to a better life, your life, no matter who or where you are, what you do. There are several skeleton or master keys to unlocking these doors. If you put enough of them together, you can get where you want to go a lot faster and easier. Stay with me.
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry!
Larry. Fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
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 This is episode 400 of That Larry Show. That's a milestone number. 166 hours of content, all original. If you wanted to binge listen, I could keep you company on two round-trip coast-to-coast drives. And those 400 don't include another 40 bonus episodes available only at patreon.com/thatlarryshow. And in those kind, we get a little more personal and contentious. Now, to celebrate this milestone, I wanted to do something extra special. And I racked my brain for what that could be until I stumbled on that interview with Steve Vai, and then the Eureka moment. There is so much wisdom packed into his brief statement, applicable not only to guitar playing and music, but to any field of endeavor. Life ain't easy. But for some people, it appears to be a boat ride, huh? While for others, well, they look like the ones pulling the oars, like the slaves down in the hull and those old Viking ships. Why is that?
I never worked on my weaknesses. I only worked on my strengths, and I exaggerate them.
That is a head slap statement. It hit me like a carnival mallet. Why hadn't somebody told me that when I was a school kid? Years back, there was a monster hit book entitled All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. I never went to kindergarten. But by the time I finished second grade, I could read, write, add, subtract, multiply, and divide. Those nuns were like Paris Island DIs, so much of the math I could do in my head without paper. That's pretty much all you need. Of course, there was more that was worthwhile. The history, geography, lit. It was good to know how to figure percentages, too. But as time went by, and I found myself in high school, a very weird Catholic high school, I realized I was being forced to waste chunks of my life, sitting in classes in which I had not just disinterest. I was actually allergic to the subject matter. Those classes were Algebra 1 and 2 and Chemistry. Even though I was only 13 or 14 years old, I knew with complete certainty that never in the course of my life would anything taught in those classes be of use to me. Not one fucking formula. Not one equation. However I was going to make my way through the world, it would be without the periodic table. Without the atomic number of Lawrencium, without valence and covalence and sines and cosines and tangents. Chemistry was the worst. The teacher mumbled. Plus, he wore a walrus mustache that completely covered his mouth, making lip reading impossible. I could only understand every fourth or maybe fifth word that he said. Within a week or two, I was falling behind. I put so much damn time into trying to understand chemistry that other subjects I enjoyed, English Lit and History and so on, well, those began to suffer. I was sleep deprived and pissed off all the time. Somewhere, and I don't recall the exact moment, I had an epiphany. Why the fuck should I break my ass to excel at a subject that was useless to me? Well, one good reason was that if you did not at least pass, you were punished with summer school, which not only fucked up your summer, it could be life-ending. Summer school was in the shittiest, highest crime area of Queens. Now you may be thinking, well, why didn't you ask your parents for help? That was not really an option. The only thing for which I would ask their help would have been to drive me to a doctor if I'd been gut shot. It wasn't that they were bad or neglectful parents, far from it. It was just that I had always excelled in school, and if I was failing behind on some level, well, it must be my fault. Besides, the prevailing sentiment at that time was that school was supposed to be unpleasant. I felt trapped and furious. I was in a school I really didn't like, being forced to study subjects that I hated under penalty of summer school. And I thought, well, fuck them. I'm gonna cheat my balls off. I'm gonna cheat my way through this shit and pull a better than passing grade. And when I do, knowing that I had beaten them and their system is gonna make me feel great. And so I did. And I never got caught. Was never even suspected. By now you may be wondering my method. I'm going to tell you. First tool was an ultra-fine line pen. It had a point like a pin. So instead of memorizing shit I would never need nor understand, the night before a test I would write everything I needed on Jip notes. I cut them to the size of postage stamps. I could cram an incredible amount of info on each side and had no trouble reading them, even at arm's length. I'd keep them in my socks. During the test, I'd sit back in my chair like some ultra-relaxed cowpoke with my right ankle on top of my left knee, the picture of nonchalance. Every other cheating chooch invited suspicion with his body language, huh? Hunched over the desk or craning his neck to try to eyeball somebody else's test paper. Fucking amateurs. When the time was right, I'd slip a Jip note out of my sock and palm it, then lay it right on the inside of my knee, in plain sight. But not to the teacher at the front of the room. The angle of my leg was just sufficient to obscure that Jip note. I'd leisurely copy what I needed onto the test paper. Now what if teacher should stroll in my direction? No problem. I'd palm the note, crumpling it as I brought my fist to my mouth to cover a fake cough and eat the evidence. It was pretty foolproof. When I walked out of that room, I felt like king shit. Back then, you'd frequently get general warnings from teachers regarding cheating, and the tired old axiom was,
when you cheat, you're only cheating yourself.
Right. The only things I cheated myself out of was a sentence of summer school with a good chance of being mugged and or knifed, and clogging my mind with utterly useless information. Around sophomore year, when I connected with my buddies Jimmy and Frank, who were also hip enough not to break a sweat learning useless shit, we fine-tuned our cheating to symphonic precision. When there was a major test coming, we'd split the material into thirds and write the necessary Jip notes. That was efficient, reducing time and effort. We'd then exchange Jip notes during the test. It was easy. We'd sit within reach of one another and just hand them off behind our backs. One smart-ass teacher thought he'd prevent cheating by mixing up the seating arrangements just before the tests. No problem. Most guys were happy to assist and pass the Jip notes on. Once or twice, there were goody-two-shoes who refused. In that case, we just deployed the pen-drop-and-fake-out maneuver. Crunch the gyp note into a tiny ball. Palm it. Drop your pen. When you reach down to the floor to retrieve it, flick that tiny ball a few feet up the slick linoleum floor like a tiny hockey puck to your pal. Then he would execute a pen drop to retrieve it. We felt like Redford and Newman in the fucking Sting. When we'd walk out of a test knowing we just scored an 85 instead of a 5. Well, perhaps only the birth of my children surpassed the joy I felt after beating their system. If you're wondering why no other students ratted us out, you may be a millennial. In my school days, tattletales and squealers were pariahs. It was unthinkable. Even the mathletes and chess club nerds were rooting for us and jazzed by our gyp note exploits. The mindset was kids versus teachers, as it should be. Only one time did our system fail. It was on a final exam. Earlier in the year, the teacher had a thing for pop quizzes, at which we had not done very well. We were skirting a failing grade, and summer school was a distinct possibility. We each created comprehensive gyp notes for the final exam, which was a do-or-die proposition. If we fucked up, we were fucked. There was an exchange of gyp notes, but when I read the last one passed to me in Frank's handwriting, it made no sense. He must have cribbed from the wrong chapter or been drunk or something, so I discarded his note and just answered as best I could on gut instinct and guesswork. I passed by one thin point. Frank did not, and spent his summer in some shithole building in South Jamaica, Queens. That experience must have fucked with his head, because eventually he wound up going into law enforcement. Maybe that summer in school convinced him that crime did not pay. I, however, had a great summer, and I never thought of my cheating as a crime or even wrong. On some level, I understood what Steve Vai said before he ever said it. Why the fuck struggle on crap for which you have no aptitude or enthusiasm? It's insane, but that's the way the educational system works. I regret that I didn't have my cheating epiphany back in grammar school. There, I would study until my eyes bled to get A's in math when I was hardwired for C's. Some teachers used to think I stole my essays from somewhere until they witnessed me writing them in person. They were that good. But despite my flair for language arts, I thought I was a second-class student because I was not a math whiz. Because the Catholic school culture taught us that anything that came easy had to be worthless. You had to struggle and suffer to really be an achiever. Only then was that achievement legit. How fucked up. When I think about it, if I had a time machine, I'd use it to go back and visit me, wise me up sooner than I wised up myself. I'd also cheat more, a fuck ton more, to free me up from pointless drudgery, so I could have spent more time on the subjects I loved. But then again, I didn't really beat their system because they wasted my time. Somebody should have said, hey, this kid writes like a demon. Let's get the math and chemistry off his back and see how high he can fly with the wings God gave him. But high school was not a total loss. What I did learn was how to game an institution. And that damn few people in positions of authority should have any authority. That if you decide to resist and fight back, you can have a lot of fun if you're stealthy and smart and strategic about it. If you're really good at it, you can flip the script and make them chase their own tails and never get caught. I chronicled some amazing feats of institutional fuckery and fakeouts in several other episodes, like number 384, Larry Summons Satan. You'll find that in the October 2022 tab at thatlarryshow.com. Or check out the incredible Vengeance is Ours trilogy. That's at patreon.com/thatlarryshow. Every word in those stories is true. I've told a few of those stories to the children of friends. I could see they didn't believe me, which is really sad. Kids today are broken by the school system. They are obedient automatons, happy to conform and comply, and to persecute those who don't. Maybe cheating isn't even a thing anymore. It might no longer be necessary. I was bug-eyed to discover that my kids were allowed to use calculators in math class. Lots of my daughter's tests are open book. So who the hell needs to cheat when the faculty has simply made it acceptable? I wonder if they're administering open book tests to surgeons and airline pilots. By the time Steve Vai was in his early 20s, he was an established guitar star, touring and recording with major acts all over the world. He also had a film career, playing the devil's guitarist in the hit movie Crossroads. He remains at the top of his game. Is he talented? Hell yeah. Does he work his ass off? Of course. But there are many enormously talented musicians who remain obscure. There's no formula for stardom. It takes an alchemy of talent, charisma, work, and luck. But people who hit the top, in whatever field they choose, seem to usually do it in their youth, don't they? They are blessed with a fire in the belly for a career, and they refuse to allow other people and institutions to divert them from their passion. No one is good at everything. But if you can be great at one thing, success and personal fulfillment are practically guaranteed. Take it from Steve.
If you're going to take any advice from me, I would tell you to find the thing that excites you the most and go after that. Whether it's just playing, you know, a Led Zeppelin song and not practicing scales, and you don't have to know music. You know, if you tell Jeff Beck to play an F sharp on the G string, he might not know what it is. Well, maybe he would know that, but great musicians don't necessarily have to know about music. Mm-hmm. The important thing is to find what it is that excites you and disregard what anybody else is doing or saying and just go after that.
Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. For hundreds more episodes, 399 to be exact, hop over to thatlarryshow.com, and while you're there, click the subscribe button so you never miss one. Doesn't cost a thing. Follow the show on Twitter and Facebook. You'll find links to those pages there as well. If you like what you just heard, click the Patreon or PayPal button and help me keep the show going. There's a postal address that gratefully accepts checks and cash. You'll also see that at thatlarryshow.com. If you're not budgeted for a donation, then share a link to the show on your social media or in an email to a friend. It takes 5 seconds and works wonders for the show and your karma. And as always, a special gorilla-sized thank you to those magnificent Dojo members who help keep this show going with your financial support. I'll see you next Wednesday or thereabouts, and until that time, take no shit.